If we could walk along the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and ask him how to be a good man, Jesus would smile and say, "Follow me." Jesus is the blueprint for men. His life and teachings reveal the principles of true manhood. A long time ago, Jaron grunted as he tried to roll over. Pain shot down his body. "Ugh, if only," he sighed. If only he had listened to his father. If only he had said no. If only he had not gone on that trip. If only he had listened to his conscience. But now, it was too late. His sins had found him out and they had destroyed his body. The disease was a sign from God of his eternal displeasure. The doctors had pronounced him incurable, and the priest said he was the worst of sinners. His punishment was deserved. His agony was justice. Jaron had long ago accepted the constant pain, the ebbing away of his strength, but he'd never come to grips with the weight of his internal guilt. The feelings of unworthiness choked his prayers. He knew God loathed him, and Jaron knew there was nothing he could do about it. Then one day, he heard about Jesus, a new teacher who ate with tax collectors, touched lepers, and cast demons out of sinners like him. A flicker of hope jumped to life in Jaron's heart. "Do you think Jesus would talk to me?" he wondered. Then one day Jesus came to his town. "I've got to see Jesus," Jaron said. A few friends had stopped by to tell him that Jesus was just a couple streets away, and Jaron said, "Take me to him." His eyes were fierce, and so his friends agreed. "I bet Jesus can help you," one said as they picked up the couch and started out the door. Then they hit a wall of people. The crowd was packed tight around Peter's house, and Jesus was just inside. Jaron could hear bits and pieces of a story about a runaway son, but they couldn't push their way past the people. His pleas for mercy, they fell on deaf ears. "Maybe we should just try another day," one friend suggested. "What if he's not here tomorrow?" Jaron asked. "No, I've got to see him today, now." Then Jaron looked up at the blue sky, and he dared to pray for the first time in a long time. "God of my fathers, I don't deserve it, but please let me see Jesus." The sky was quiet. Nothing. "God doesn't care about you," Jaron thought. "You're too far gone." "Hey," one of his friends interrupted his thoughts. "What if we go up on the roof? I bet we could lower Jaron down right on top of Jesus." "That's crazy," another friend retorted. "We could get in serious trouble." "Do it," Jaron ordered. "But do it." Jaron gritted his teeth. "I have got to see Jesus." Within minutes, the roof was cleared, a hole was made, and Jaron was hanging midair, being let down. He heard angry voices below, but he didn't care. He had to see Jesus. And then, there he was. Jaron didn't know what to say. He was so ashamed of his past and his sins. His tongue just froze, but his eyes searched Jesus' face, desperately trying to find a sign of kindness or mercy. And Jesus stood there, silent. His eyes, too, were searching, and somehow Jaron sensed that they could see his sins and his mistakes and the deep desire of his heart. Jesus nodded, and Jaron saw that kindness and felt peace well up in his chest. And then Jesus spoke, "Son, take courage. Your sins are forgiven." Jaron burst into tears. That was all he needed to hear. Relief flooded and cleansed his soul. Jesus turned and started talking to someone else in the room, and Jaron knew he should go. He looked up at his friends and motioned for them to pull him up. "Now, I can die in peace," Jaron thought with a smile. "God has forgiven me. I'm free." The couch jerked upwards, and Jaron turned to have one more look at Jesus. Maybe he could say thank you. But Jesus reached out his hand and put it on the couch and stopped it. Then Jesus spoke. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins," Jesus turned and looked Jaron right in the eyes. "Get up, take your bed, and go home. energy shot through Jaren's body. In an instant, he felt completely different. He sat up. He stretched his legs and wiggled his toes. He looked at his hands. They were strong and healthy again. Then he looked at Jesus. "Thank you," he breathed. Jesus smiled and held out his hand. Jaren took it and jumped off the couch and onto the floor. Jesus gave his hand a quick squeeze, and then Jaren picked up his couch and stood in the middle of the room. Everyone was staring at him, their mouths hung open. The priests were speechless. But Jaren looked once again at Jesus and smiled. Then he started to walk home. He was a new man. He was healed. But more importantly, he was forgiven. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." When he said hunger and thirst, the words he used in Greek could be translated as starving or desperate, craving, suffering from hunger and thirst. But the way we usually read it in church sounds like, "Blessed are those who've got the munchies for God." Like, that'd be nice, but if I don't find a bag of Cheetos in the pantry, I'll still be okay. And that's how many Christians act in church. It's something we do. It's not something we need. That's why Christians get offended when the pastor says they should be having time alone with God. "Whoa, whoa, whoa, pastor. Don't ask me if I studied my lesson or memorized Bible verses this week. Don't you ask me if I spent time in my Bible. Are you judging me? How dare you? Back off." That all comes from thinking that seeing Jesus would be nice. But Jaren felt this desperate urge to see Jesus because he realized how truly lost he was. The Pharisees were in the same boat as Jaren. They were lost too, but they didn't feel their need. They were in the room listening to the best teacher who ever lived, and they saw a miracle right before their eyes, and then they snuck off to plot how to murder Jesus. That's how lost they were. Sure, they had it all together on the outside, but on the inside, there was no desire for God. And that's the secret to experiencing God. Desire. You gotta want it. The teenager Mary understood this because after the angel told her she was going to be pregnant with the Son of God, she said in Luke 1:53, "God filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away with nothing." You see, the rich weren't hungry. They didn't need it. They didn't want it. So they didn't take what God was offering them. But God filled those who were starving with good food, and he satisfied their needs. So today, how bad do you want to be with Jesus? What are you willing to sacrifice? Peter quit his job. Matthew walked away from a gold mine. Paul left all his friends behind. But it was nothing to them because they were hungry. They desired righteousness. Revelation 3 talks about Christians at the end of time. They're described as lukewarm. That's half in and half out. They're apathetic. They're just playing it cool. And Jesus doesn't want any of that. He wants all of you or none of you. Once there was a wedding ceremony. The bride was gorgeous, and the groom looked sharp in his tux. When it came time for their vows, the bride went first. She promised to love and cherish him for as long as they both shall live. She beamed as she slid the ring onto his finger. Then it was his turn. He also promised to love and cherish her, but then he added something at the very end. He said, "I vow to forsake all others but you and her." Then he nodded at one of the cute bridesmaids. "You both can share my life and my love." Well, you can imagine how that went over. There was no kissing of the bride, no cutting of the cake, and for sure no honeymoon for that fool. You see, love doesn't work that way. You can't be completely committed and in love with two women. And it's the same spiritually. Jesus said, "You can't serve two masters." You can't build a house on the sand and the rock. The only thing that matters to God is your answer to one little question. How bad do you want me? Your answer will either fling open the doors of heaven or lock you into a dungeon. So before you answer, take a look at Jesus. He left heaven for you. He became a man for you. He went to the cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. And he's still calling men to follow him. He's still healing broken bodies. He's still forgiving sins. You can experience God today, right now. You just have to want it. In Jeremiah 29:13, God promises, "You will search for me, and when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me." God bless. Thanks for listening to the Blueprint for Men podcast. We harvest what we plant. And when we plant the example of Jesus in our lives, we will harvest a character like his. Why not be bold today and share this podcast with someone? It could be just the thing they need. Remember, Jesus wasn't a man of convenience. He was a man of courage. Let's follow his blueprint for men.